Doc Anderson, as retold by Joe McHugh and read by the author. Back in the days before the invention of the telephone and the automobile, the electric light bulb and the refrigerator, there lived in Wetzel County, West Virginia, an old-time country doctor by the name of Anderson. 6 mornings a week for many years, Doc Anderson began his day by harnessing his mare to a buggy so he could travel to different farms in the area to check up on his patients and give them what help he could. There wasn't a corner of the county he didn't know like the back of his hand, nor a person for that matter. One winter's day, after having worked since early morning without a break, there being a number of folks ailing at the time, Doc Anderson didn't turn his buggy toward home until well after dark. It had started to snow, and looked as if the snow would continue throughout the night, and this suited Doc Anderson just fine. He needed a good rest and was looking forward to spending the next day snowbound at home. He'd gone without a supper, so after he got in, he made some toast and a cup of cocoa and headed up the stairs for bed. But as he reached the top of the stairs, there came a knock on his door. "Now what blame fool would come visiting at this hour of the night, and it's a stormin' out," he muttered to himself. But then, of course, he realized it wasn't a social call, but more likely someone sent to fetch him on account of a poor soul somewhere needing his help. With a sigh, Doc turned around, descended the stairs, and opened the door. Cold air rushed into the warm house, and Doc was surprised to see a young girl standing in the doorway. She couldn't have been more than 8 years old, and she was dressed in a blue wool coat with a white scarf tied around her neck. Her head was uncovered, and her hair was dusted with snow. Doc Anderson knew about everyone in the county, considering that he'd brought most of them into the world, but this little girl was a stranger to him. He'd never seen her before. "Doctor," she said, looking up at him with dark, anxious eyes, "my mom is sick and she's going to die. You've got to come and help her." "Well, who is your mama?" Doc Anderson asked. "I'm sorry, but I don't know who you are." "She's out at the Benton farm. Oh, please, Doc, you've got to come right away." Now, this news was even more puzzling to the doctor. The Benton house had been vacant for years and was falling to pieces. Doc Anderson allowed the young child was simply frightened and confused. "Honey," he said gently, "you come on into the house here and get warm. We'll find your mama and help her. Don't you worry." Doc Anderson turned to get his heavy overcoat from the closet and grab his medical bag from the hall table. But when he turned back, he was startled to discover that the little girl had not come into the house. The door was standing open, but she was gone. By the light pouring out of the open doorway, he could plainly see her footprints in the snow leading away into the dark night. He called out to her repeatedly, but there was no reply, the sound of his voice captured by the deep quiet of falling snow. Well, this left the doctor in a quandary. He was certain that the frightened girl had run off to be with her mother, but he also knew that no one lived at the Benton farm. He was bone-tired and needed to go to bed, but he could see in his mind the child's dark eyes looking up at him, pleading for help. He had to do something. So, making his way out to the barn, he soon had Meg in harness. The mare resisted at first, stamping and swinging her head as he tried to fit the bridle, for she too was weary and had no desire to leave the warm stall on such a foul night. But Doc Anderson managed at last to settle her down, and they took the road, going north. The cold stung the old doctor's face as the mare trudged through the snow as best she could. It was several miles out to the Benton farm, and as they passed by the farmhouses set back from the road, they could see lights shining out from the windows, everyone inside cozy and warm, while they bucked the storm on what Doc Anderson feared was a fool's errand. An hour later, they reached their destination. It was, as the doctor had expected, an old, rambling, abandoned farmhouse that had seen better days. The porch, which ran nearly all the way around the house, had slipped from its foundation on one side, the pillars and railings leaning downward like a drunken man struggling to keep his balance. What's more, many of the windows of the house have been broken out by children throwing stones on their way home from school. The old doctor sighed. He could see no light or other sign that anyone lived there. In the snowy night, the dark, empty house gave off a feeling of bleak loneliness and desolation. Doc Anderson's first thought was to turn the buggy around and return home. But since he'd come such a long way, he reconsidered. He tied the mare to the gatepost, and taking his kerosene lamp with him, he mounted the steps to the front door with care. A rotted board might result in a sprained ankle or worse. Taking hold of the doorknob with his hand, the cold metal grabbing at his skin, he turned the doorknob. The door was unlocked, and he swung it open into the cold, vacant house. "Hello! Is anyone here?" he yelled. "It's Doc Anderson!" There was no response. Now, it is said that people who have spent their lifetimes tending to those who are ill develop an uncanny sixth sense that tells them when there's sickness in a place. At that moment, while standing in the doorway, Doc Anderson experienced the self-same premonition. On the strength of it, he entered the old house and climbed the stairs to the second floor, going from room to room and calling out. But he found no one. As he came back down the stairs, however, he thought he noticed a faint light coming from what must have been the dining room to his right. He decided to investigate, and he passed through the dining room and into the kitchen, where he discovered on the far side of the room a door with a thin strip of light visible along the crack beneath it. Doc Anderson went over and opened the door. It was a pantry, a small room with a few cabinets and rows of shelves for storing canned goods. There were no windows, which explained why he had not been able to see the light from outside. On a shelf was a piece of burning candle, no bigger than a man's thumb, with a large puddle of wax at its base. And on the floor, wrapped in a tattered bed cover, was an elderly gray-haired woman. She was unconscious, and when Doc Anderson reached down and touched her forehead, he found that she was burning up with fever. At first, Doc Anderson wasn't sure if he could save the woman. She was so deathly ill. But he was determined to try. He went out and filled his handkerchief with newly fallen snow. He returned and rubbed the handkerchief over her face and arms in an attempt to bring her temperature down. All night he doctored the old woman in the pantry, afraid to move her, using what tried and true remedies he had brought with him in his medical bag. Then, shortly after dawn, her fever broke, and Doc Anderson felt assured that she would pull through. The storm of the night had abated, and the sun now glinted brightly through the breaking clouds upon a landscape turned white with fresh snow. He gently woke the woman and helped her to her feet. He then wrapped his heavy coat about her shoulders so he could take her out to the buggy and get her back to his warm house where she could be nursed back to health. She was very weak, and he didn't want to alarm her, but his mind was troubled by the fact that during the long night, her little girl had not returned. "Ma'am," he began, "my name is Doc Anderson. You've had a rough time of it, but I think you're over the worst. I'm going to take you to my house where you can rest for a few days. Your daughter left my house in such a hurry last night that I was not able to bring her with me when I came out here. I'm sure it's all right. Most likely she stopped at some farmhouse along the way because of the storm. Knowing the folks around here, I'm certain she'll be well cared for and we'll find her shortly." At these words, the old woman became flustered and said, "I don't know what you're talking about." "Your daughter," Doc Anderson said. "She did not return with me last night. I'll go look for her after I get you back to my house. I'm sure she's all right." The old woman's confusion now turned to anger. "I have no daughter, mister, so I don't know what you're going on about." Doc Anderson tried once more. "Your daughter, she came to my house last night to fetch me. I would have never known you were here in this old house otherwise." "Well, I appreciate what you're doing for me, doctor, but like I was telling you, I ain't got no daughter. I don't know a soul in this country. I was just passing through, minding my own business, when I felt this sickness coming on. I seen this old house and thought it best to get in out of the weather. And that's the last I remember until you woke me just now, but I ain't got no daughter. Now, Doc Anderson, like many a country doctor, was a keen student of human nature, and he saw that it was useless to argue with the old woman. But then, as he took her by the elbow so he could guide her toward the front door, she started to speak again. He realized she was talking more to herself than to him. "I did have me a daughter one time. Prettiest little girl that ever was. I just loved her so. But the good Lord saw fit to take her from me, and, well, after that, I just didn't have the heart to go on. Took all the joy out of life for me, and I've been on the road ever since, doing odd jobs here and there just to get by. All I've got now of my little girl is the blue coat and the white scarf she was so fond of. I carry 'em with me always to remind me of her. They're hanging there in the cabinet, mister," she pointed with her hand. "If you don't mind, would you reach them down to me?" The old woman's words took the doctor's breath away. He fancied himself a man of science, a man who placed his trust in reason, not superstition. And yet he felt an unearthly chill pass through him as he slowly put out his hand to open the cabinet she had pointed to. And there, hanging inside on a peg, was a small blue coat and a white scarf. And as Doc Anderson touched them, he found that instead of being dry and cold as they should have been, they were wet and warm, just like they'd been worn out in the storm that very night.